Van Keramik was successful. By 4500 BC, farming settlement in Europe had become more clustered, with much more closely defined territories identified by different pottery styles. And this was a time when territorial identity became more important, and when communal burial came into fashion. What are communal burial places? Places where generations of people are buried, members of the same lineage are buried, where kin go to become ancestors in groups. These communal burial places, we think, were burial mounds, large, long burial mounds, sepulchres where the ancestors resided, often placed on ridges and at other strategic locations where they marked territorial boundaries. Now here in Europe, we see the ancestor cult well documented with burials and communal graves. Because the ancestors, as we said, with southwestern Asia, were the guardians of the land. Their burial places often fashioned from huge boulders and buried under earthen mounds, sites known as megaliths. Again, my classical education, mega, big, lithos, stone. Important power symbols among people who were more and more interacting with one another constantly. There was no such thing as self-sufficiency. Europe was more and more becoming a web of interconnectedness. And in this territorial marking, the grounding in the land and in the ancestors was of critical importance. Between 2800 and 2400 BC, there was a change. These communal burials gave way to individual sepulchres for important elders in Central and Eastern Europe. Now here things were changing. Now leaders were emerging. You've got powerful chieftains who developed in later Bronze Age and Iron Age societies. These were the beginnings of a more complex socially ranked society, reflected in changing burial customs. And this was a time, too, when ancient European societies came into increasing contact with the changing Mediterranean to the south. So in Europe, you have an area that received the new economies, where initially settlement took hold on the lighter soils, careful soil selection, slash-and-burn agriculture, a fairly rapid spread as a result of the natural dynamics of a form of agriculture which is wasteful of land. And from there, you got the lighter soils being increasingly crowded. Territorial boundaries, careful grounding and kin ownership of land, the placement of long barrows on prominent ridges, the marking of territory. And in some places, like the famous site of Avebury and Stonehenge, which has huge stone circles, a very complex ritual landscape which defined the world of the ancestors, arose over an entire area of southern England. This was a very complex relationship with the land, and it affected a land where the world was getting increasingly crowded. And then, after 2500 BC, you see the emergence of chiefdoms, of individuals, powerful leaders. They may still have been kin leaders, but they had individual wealth and power. And it was they that increasingly monitored and controlled contacts. Contacts with neighboring people, with people afar, and with the burgeoning Mediterranean world to the south. Europe was becoming more complicated. Soon there was metallurgy. Soon there was the plow and the gradual clearing of much of the heavier soils and the forests of Western Europe. Only here we've described, just briefly, the first farming settlement of Europe after 6000 BC, and we've shown how farmers spread from Western Asia into Southeast Europe before 6000 BC, when the climate was wetter and new adaptations were needed. Then I've rather controversially suggested that the flooding of the Euxine Lake was a cataclysm that became a catalyst for the spread of farming into the forested areas to the northwest. I described the Ban Keramik tradition, the first European farming society which spread as far as Netherlands and the Belgium. And finally, we discussed very briefly the complex relationship between people and the land and the ancestors, central elements in European farming societies. And next time, we'll do the same thing with the first farmers of East Asia.